Today we are going to talk about being purposeful in our purpose to His purpose. Let me say that again. Being purposeful in our very own purpose towards His purpose. There's a lot to be said in the Bible about God being purposeful towards His purpose, towards the plans that He has for us, for humanity as a whole. And in everything that we believe, in everything that we hold true in our lives, it is because God has intended in His purpose and been purposeful about that purpose to bring it forth. And I believe there's a calling on every single individual to behold, to grab a hold of that revelation of what God is doing. And we'll see from ancient times until now, the purpose of God, and in that purpose, Him being so purposeful to bring that purpose forth. We've seen those in many prophecies that have come about. We've also seen a glimpse of patriarchs of old who have grabbed a hold of the fact that God is intentional about His business and that they're desiring to grab a hold of what it is that God is intent about. We get a picture of Jacob as he wrestled with God, as if any man could wrestle with God. But Jacob was intent on knowing the heart of God. He was purposeful in pursuing God's purposes on the earth and for the people of Israel in that time. Let's turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 9 and verse 16. Exodus chapter 9 and verse 16. But I have raised up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. I have raised up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. As we look at this backdrop of what is taking place, when God is dealing with a hardened Pharaoh, and at one juncture, Pharaoh himself gave in. And it went on to say that God Himself hardened Pharaoh's heart. Even after Pharaoh himself gave in, God intentionally hardened Pharaoh's heart so that Pharaoh could see His very purpose, that Pharaoh could see that there is no other God but this God, Yahweh. And that His name, from henceforth, would be spread throughout the earth. We have heard already in communion about this backdrop. The people of God being in slavery for over 400 years. And in fact, that did not come as a surprise to God, because He shared with Abraham that these people will be in bondage for over 400 years. Now, when we look at that, I don't know about you, but for me, I begin to wonder, Lord, what is it that You're doing? What is it that You're trying to do 400 years before something happened, you are saying that it is going to happen. Something that you very well could prevent. But that was in his plan. That was in his purpose. And we might not always know what God's plans are or his purposes very well might be. But we can rest assured that whatever those are, that he is intent on carrying those through. And his purpose always aligns itself, I believe, from that scripture in Genesis 3:15, where there was a prophetic mandate, a prophetic messianic mandate, that the serpent would bruise the heel of Christ, and in the process, Christ himself would take the head of that serpent. That from the loin of a woman, from the seed, that seed who will then become Jesus, wielding that scepter, will crush the serpent's head while taking a fatal blow and dying on the cross. And that as well, we've seen talked about in communion today. I believe from that point on, when the issue of sin had to be dealt with, that God was purposeful in his purpose to draw us back to him. And that there are many things that would have to take place that we would not understand. And even till this day, we wonder. But I believe, even as God is so intent and purposeful in bringing out his plan, that his desire is for us to catch a glimpse of what he is doing and be purposeful as we are purposed to live for him, as we are purposed to live towards his purpose. Amen? Let's turn to Job chapter 36, verse 5. And these are just instances where we hear echo or an echoing of the purpose of God and him being purposeful in carrying out his purpose. Job chapter 36, verse 5. It says, God is mighty, but does not despise men. He is mighty and he is firm in his purpose. And when we read the backdrop of what is taking place, we have Elihu in verse 2. He's trying to somehow comfort Job. And what came out of this conversation was an acknowledgement of who God is and how steady and steadfast God is in his purpose. And there also lies a part that we play, a reflection of man in this picture. The fact that God himself, even though he uses us towards his purpose, and there might be some things that we would have to walk through that are distasteful, that doesn't seem purposeful at all to us. But still, is a part of God's plan. There's an echo that God himself, who is sovereign, God himself is mighty. God is God. And even though we might walk through troubles and temptations and ill will might befall us, it is not because he despises us. There varying reasons why those things happen. And in Job's case, he had absolutely no idea of what was taking place in the heavenlies. And the fact that God was making a point, and that is a point that we can all see today, and enjoy the very fact that we see the enemy, we see the deceiver, we see that serpent powerless. We see how Satan himself had to ask God for permission. Once when I preached on this very subject, I asked this question. Does God have more power than the devil? And that was a trick question, because the answer is no. God doesn't have more power than the devil, because the issue is not about more. God has all power. The devil has absolutely none. And that is the very reason why he had to storm into the counsel of God to ask permission. So the issue is not about whether God has more power than the devil. The issue is the devil has absolutely no power and God has it all. Amen? And we can be excited about that very fact now. If there's one thing we can glean from the entire book of Job, is that Satan has absolutely no power. That's one. And two, we can glean that God is sovereign. God is all powerful. He doesn't have to do anything with our permission. Because he has a purpose already aligned. And his desire is that we be aligned towards his purpose and be purposeful in our ways towards that very purpose. So there's an echo here as the acknowledgement is shouted aloud. At least that's how I'm imagining it. That God is mighty. That God is powerful. That God is sovereign. There's absolutely nothing that God cannot do. It is not in his desire to despise men, even though we might be used in ways that seem purposeless to us, that seem without purpose, because we are bearing the brunt or the weight of that purpose that God is purposing through us. We see through a glass darkly. But God's eyes are wide open and he can see very clearly what it is that his intent will be. And he is firm in that purpose. He's very firm in that purpose. Let's turn to Isaiah 46 verse 10. There's a rolling theme as we see an acknowledgement of who God is. And we see that he's intent in what he's about. Isaiah chapter 46 verse 10. Actually, let's back up to verse 9. Which says, remember the former things. Those of long ago, remember those former things. Do not forget those things. What are those things? What is that thing? That I am God. And there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end of from the beginning. From ancient times, what is still to come. I say, says the Lord, my purpose will stand. Can we say amen to that? Amen. and I will do all that I please. Rob Grinley once spoke here about this very verse in verse 10. I have made known the end from the very beginning. And it seeps so deeply within my heart because it freshly revealed within me something I had never thought of about God. And it's very elementary. It's just that I didn't capture it. And this is it. That nothing catches God by surprise. Absolutely nothing. Does he know what will take place tomorrow? Yes. Next week? Yes. Has he already walked through the entirety of 2013? Yes. 2014, yes, 2015, 2020, 2032, if the Lord would tarry. Yes, absolutely nothing catches God by surprise. He knows, standing at the very beginning, he looks and sees the end. It's what this scripture is saying. And he knows the end, standing at the very beginning, even before it happened. Long before it had ever been conceived in mankind, God has looked through the span of time and has seen what will take place, and nothing catches him by surprise. And that is one thing that we can grasp and have a confidence that his purposes and his plans are all we should desire to glean and to cleave to, have a desire to want to know, have a desire to have inhabit us. As we ask for God to inhabit the praises of his people every day, that should be a cry of our heart. Lord, reveal to me. Lord, reveal to us. Lord, reveal to my inner being, my inner man, to my heart. Conform my mind, my method of thinking, my thought process, everything that I am or could ever be, Lord. Let it be conformed to your purpose. And let me see how intent you are in bringing out that purpose. Let me see how fervent you are. Lord, reveal that zeal that you have within yourself to fulfill that which you have already seen through the ages. That's why we can stand, we can sit today and proclaim that all the promises of God will come true. Every one of them. And in fact, in the time of Moses, down to Joshua, every single promise that God made to the Israelites, except one, was fulfilled. Every one of them. The only one that wasn't fulfilled, you read in Hebrews, that they did not enter into rest, as God had commanded them to enter fully into rest. But every single promise, and it will, we can anticipate that that is a part of the purpose of God. That his promises will be yes and amen. That his promises are true. Because he is intent, he's purposeful, he has a purpose towards those promises. And it is that we would grab a hold of them. And while grabbing a hold of them, we grab a greater measure. We get a deeper sense of who our God really is. Amen? Remember the former things, those of long ago. Back in Exodus, you also will read how God would speak to Moses. And one of the things that stood out is how God was reminding Moses, remember how I took these people out of Egypt on eagle's wings. Remember, I did that for them. This was occurring at a time when it seemed that the morale of the people of God, of Israel, the Israelites, were fading. There seemed no longer to be any purpose. It seemed as though each would choose to do whatever he or she might do. We don't have to worship this God. We can build ourselves a golden calf and worship it. And God was reminding, sending a reminder that he, no other but he, was the one who brought them out of slavery. And not just out of slavery as if they had to run away. He said, no, I've given you guys an easy ride. I did all the work. Because it was in my purpose to do that. I was the one who sent the plagues. I was the one who hardened Pharaoh's heart. I was the one who parted the Red Sea. I was the one who provided for you in this wilderness. I carried you on eagle's wings. And here, there's also an echo. Remember the former things. I believe that God is desiring for us to never forget. One, the work of the cross. It should never just be an elementary thing, what Jesus did. It should be as near and dear to our heart as anything else would be. That is not just something simple. It is something that had been ordained long ago. When the question went up into heaven, who would go? Who would go? No one was worthy. No one was worthy. And he said, I will make myself a body and I will go. And God has purpose within himself through Jesus to finish a task that was long conceived to completion, to a finished work. And we are now the remnants of that finished work. When we think of Christianity as a religion, over the ages, back to antiquity, and we think of why is it that the disciples were so intent, were so purposeful, were so driven to echo the sentiment of who Jesus was? Why is it that they were willing to die, to give up their very own lives? And most of them died in horrendous ways. They were willing to lay down their lives. Peter himself was crucified upside down, just outside the gates of Rome. Why is it that from that time on, these first century Christians had such a fervor, had such a zeal, had such a passion to declare what it is that Jesus had come to do, to declare who Jesus himself was purposed to do? they grab a hold of how purposeful Jesus Christ himself was towards the purposes of God. When we grab a hold of that purpose to which God has already set afoot, when we grab a hold of the zeal and the passion that God has within him and how firm he is to carry out those plans and those purposes, nothing, listen, absolutely nothing will stop God from carrying out his purposes in the earth. We're given a mandate in Matthew chapter 28. That's our mandate. That's our purpose. That is the intent of the heart of God, to be made purposeful within our hearts. Why is it that those disciples were so purposeful in their action? Because they got a glimpse of the heart of God and how passionate God was in restoring mankind to himself. And that Jesus, a very God himself, something that he conceived before mankind, that the issue of sin would have to be dealt with, and that the only provision for the dealing of sin was to spill blood one last time. But this time, it had to be innocent blood. Before that, in Hebrews, and I love this scripture, it says time and time again, priests offer sacrifice that could never, ever quench sin. But when this priest Jesus, made a sacrifice once, he for all time quenched the burden of sin. And he sits at the right hand of God, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. God is purposeful in his purpose to bring forth his purpose. And it is the intent of God as believers that we have a passion in our hearts. Now, how do you know what your purpose is? How do you know what it is that you need to be purposeful about? Well, certainly I cannot tell you, but I believe God will reveal that to your heart. But a hint would be this. What is it that you enjoy doing? What is it that, if you had the opportunity to do, you would spend a lot more time doing? I believe that's a good start for what God has sown within us as a gift. And that God would have that gift multiply. And that within our hearts, we can begin to be more purposeful about that gift within us that God is ready to allow to burst forth from within us, like springs of living water welling from our very beings. If there is something, even in the kingdom of God, that you don't mind doing, that you enjoy doing, let that be a beginning point to be excited about the fact that God could use you to be purposeful in that very action, working towards your purpose in Christ, toward his eternal purpose. The heart of God is that we do not forget that he is God, that there is no other, that he has made known the end from the very beginning, that from ancient times, what is still to come, he says, my purpose will stand. And I will do that which I have set out to do. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 1, verse 10. Actually, I'll read from verse 8. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done. Not because of anything we have done. But because of his own what? Purpose and grace. Because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearance of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This could not be any clearer. A wide open picture of a fresh look of our God. Something that is richly to be grasped and deeply to be admired. The fact that our God not only has a purpose and is working towards that purpose, but that he is intent on carrying out that purpose. And grace has everything to do with it, as was preached last week. To know that grace, his purpose works in his grace, through his grace, with his grace, and by his grace. It is the only way that his intent is revealed, that we catch the heart of God. One of the things I really admire about Joshua, the man Joshua, was this very thing. That when Moses would enter into the temple to meet with God in the tents of meets, Joshua would linger outside the tent. And it's said that the glory of God would fill the entirety of that temple. And when Moses came out, he was radiant because the glory of God filled the whole place. And what did Joshua do? After Moses left, he just lingered outside. He just cleaved outside that temple. He wanted an experience of what it is that Moses was experiencing. He was intent. He was purposeful in knowing this God who is mighty and glorious and awesome in all his ways. And I just love that bit, that Joshua just lingers outside, because the glory of God was just protruding outwards from that meeting place. And I can just envision him just basking in that glory. And in his heart he's saying, oh God, I just want a little bit more of this. I am just so purposeful in wanting to know a little bit more of this glory. And Moses too wanted to see God in his splendor. He was intent and purposeful in knowing this God who he's spoken to, who was closer to him. God was closer to him, it says, than a brother. That he would talk to prophets, he would talk to, and he would give a word. But to Moses, he would talk to. As a man would talk to his wife. That is actually the language being translated. An intimate relationship. And even when Moses had that, it still wasn't enough, because there is such a vast dimension to God himself that Moses is crying out, God, I want to see you in your splendor. I want to see you in your glory. I want to see all that you are. So much so that God had to say, well, Moses, if you want to see that, you will die. Because no man with this earthly body can look at God and live. Look at him in the face and live. And Moses was still intent. And God says, okay, come here. Let me put you in the cleft of this rock. And don't look, because you will die. But since you're so intent, since you're so purposeful, when I pass by, you can look at my backside. You can see all the goodness. You can see all the grace. You can see all the mercy. You can see all the favor. You can see the promises. You can see forgiveness. You can see that. Have you ever imagined what Moses missed when he didn't see the face? It's a whole dimension, whole new array of dimension to God himself that we cannot even fathom. No one can ever see beyond their set of circumstances. Only God can. Also, no one can ever see beyond their set of belief or ideal. Not in a very physical way, but in a very metaphysical way. For example, before Einstein came on the scene, you've probably heard of his famous equation, E equals mc squared. And what that basically means, and it's a really ingenious discovery. What it basically says in layman terms is this, that energy, which is this E, is mass. With mass, you can describe as anything that has some weight, something that you can hold. This would have a mass. Anything that you can lift that has weight has a mass. That basically energy is just mass. And mass is energy when it's traveling at the speed of light. That's what the C squared is, traveling at the speed of light. And then he sort of concludes that no one can really see beyond the speed of light. I mean, can you imagine having a laser of light and you shine it? You can see, if you can see the end of that spectrum, you can see where that light has stopped if there's a barrier. But if that light continues, not only do you not know where it stopped, but you can't see beyond where that light has stopped. We don't understand what's taking place beyond that. Only God can. We should not be afraid of the purposes of God. We should not be ashamed of our purposes towards His purpose. But we should rather be excited, already knowing that God has it all under control. And that we are working towards His purpose and His plan. And that you have a purpose. Every single one of us have a purpose. That we can ask God diligently. Some of us even know what our purpose is. But are we excited about it? Are we purposeful in our actions towards bringing forth that purpose, that gift that God has boiled up within us? It's all a part of His plan. And as believers, we are called not only to see that, but to walk in that. To walk in that victoriously. Because that is our part to play in the big scheme of His plans and His purposes on the earth. Last and final scripture, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 2. And then we're going to read verse 13. In fact, let's back up to verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united, from being identified with Christ, from belonging to Christ, if you have any encouragement from this, if any comfort from Christ's love, if any fellowship with His Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make your joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and purpose. This is the mantra for Northgate Community Church as a body, collectively. And for the individuals, for you and me, as believers and congregant here, that we would be steadfast, that we would have a passion and a zeal and a hunger, yes, a deep hunger and a thirst. And we are all united in this purpose. We are all united to see the embodiment of the purposes of God. We're all like-minded with the same love, with the same fervor, with the same zeal, with the same passion to bring about that purpose. Verse 13, it says, "For it is God who works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." For it is God who works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose. Everything that we are and we could ever be, everything we ever hope to be, should always be towards His purpose. The purpose of God in our lives, working towards His purpose, is for us to be purposeful about. And for us to recognize that His purpose is firm, that His mandate is clear, that His heading, this race that He's running, the direction that He's heading, will not stop until the entire work is finished. Yes, the work of salvation is finished, but there's a greater work for the salvation of mankind that is on the way, and we as a body ought to be a part of that. And for a large part, we are. But continue in that fervor. Continue in that grace. Continue. Get excited. Have a deeper hunger. Ask, Lord, sow within me a deeper thirst. Put within me a vigor and a passion to see the purposes that you've aligned in my heart towards your purpose, to be firm just like your purpose and just like your intent is firm. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that if our eyes weren't already open, now they are. That if our hearts weren't already embraced towards being purposeful towards our very own purpose in your purpose, that now we see it a bit clearly. We see, Lord, that it is your desire to fulfill all that it is that you've already mandated to do. And Lord, we just grasp this as a privilege, as an honor, as something, Lord God, to be cherished, that you, in all your fullness, in all your might and splendor and power, would desire to use us according to your purpose. And that even now you're instilling within us purposeful traits and acts that would bless your heart. And so we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.